Welcome. This is Lute Berings with a series of podcasts on leadership and all things related. My question for leaders today is, do circumstances determine people's behavior? Circumstances, to be clear, are things that happen around us. Things, occurrences that we do not control. So, like anything from the weather, a colleague's or partner's behavior, the stock market, the past. Yes, the past, there's nothing you can do about it anymore. Or even a rapidly spreading pandemic. Anything happening outside of a control is what I call circumstances. So back to the question for leaders. Do these circumstances determine people's behavior? Is behavior really determined by what happens around us? Think about that for a moment. Because if it's true, then where is our ability to think, to choose, to adjust? If circumstances indeed determine our behavior, we would be nothing more than slaves to our instincts, programmed to perform depending on the circumstances. Just like press button A, you get behavior A, and for behavior B, press button B. Of course, the statement, as I see it, is fundamentally untrue. Circumstances do not determine anything. They influence. Circumstances influence our thoughts and feelings. That's what they do. And those, in turn, our thoughts and feelings, they influence our behavior. Now, having said this, I have to make two disclaimers. One is conditioning. People could be so used to responding in certain ways that it has just become conditioned behavior. We can still make a different choice, but changing conditioning requires a lot more than just the realization that we have a choice. And the second disclaimer is about chemical disbalance. The way we feel is very much influenced by the intricate way our neurotransmitters work. So I think it's fair to say that circumstances do not determine our behavior. We do. We determine our behavior. Everything else is just influence. And we can do with that influence whatever we want. We determine our behavior. Of course, keeping the previously mentioned disclaimers in mind. But that comes with a responsibility, because if we determine our behavior, then we become responsible for the effect circumstances have on us and those around us. The logic is inescapable. If we determine our behavior, then we become responsible for the effect circumstances have on us and those around us. Now let's take that one step further and quickly look into the behaviors we have available and what triggers them. There are basically two ineffective kinds and one effective kind. The first ineffective one is aggression. Defend ourselves, fight. It's ineffective because it solves nothing. It might scare away an immediate physical threat, but that's basically all it does. If you consciously choose this behavior, you obviously are not solving anything for the long term. Again, being physically threatened, it might work, but that's all. This is the behavior that happens when we raise our voice or threaten others or verbally abuse others or avoid responsibility. Like, it wasn't me, I wasn't there, it didn't happen on my watch. So clear enough, though it might make you feel good for a while, it does not really solve anything. You're just taking out a mortgage on the future. Now, if behavior is influenced by thoughts and feelings, like I previously said, it could be interesting to quickly explore why we sometimes behave like this. Why do we sometimes respond aggressively? What feelings or thoughts trigger this behavior in us? I'll give you a moment to think about this. Okay, the answers I'm getting in my training courses are feelings like insecure, threatened, scared, frustrated, treated unfairly, insufficient, but also feelings like guilty or ashamed. These are the kind of feelings that sometimes trigger that ineffective, aggressive behavior in us. Is that bad? Well, we're human. It happens. It's only bad if you leave it there. But I'll get to effective behavior in a second. Now, the second ineffective behavior is the opposite of the first. So it's passive or retreat or flight. Clear enough, that's also going to be ineffective in the long run. Counting to 10 might be a good strategy, but counting to 10,000 is overdoing it. Passive behavior happens, for instance, when we leave a room or run away or just not respond anymore. We fall silent or even sometimes if we start to cry or if we don't show any action at all. Like I said, ineffective in the long run, although it might save you some uncomfortable moments here and now. Anyway, it doesn't solve anything in the long term. Now again, the same question. If behavior is influenced by thoughts and feelings, why do we sometimes respond passively? What feelings or thoughts trigger that behavior in us? Again, I'll give you a second to think about this. Well, you figured it out, of course, because they're exactly the same feelings of insecurity, threat, fear, frustration, guilt, shame that trigger this very different behavior. The feelings are the same. All of these feelings, not all at the same time, because then you should start calling 911, but all of these feelings trigger sometimes your fight instincts and sometimes your flight instincts. When you feel insecure, you sometimes blow up at another person and sometimes you just stay silent, detach yourself from the conversation. And both are not very effective. Now, a couple of minutes ago, I said there are two ineffective behaviors and one effective kind. We looked at the two ineffective ones. Now let's look at the effective one. What works in circumstances that make you feel insecure or scared or frustrated? What behavior helps you to make an effective next step? Well, of course, it's not that hard. It's all in the book on communication and probably in the first chapter as well. It's stuff like listen to what the other person has to say, take it on board, ask questions, listen to the answers, ask follow-up questions, admit it if you make a mistake. How powerful that works. Anyway, I'm not here to teach you effective behavior because you know exactly what that is. I mean, you wouldn't have sat there where you're sitting now if you don't know what effective behavior is. I'm here to ask you why you sometimes forget your ability to demonstrate it. Why you sometimes just seem incapable of doing it. And the answer to these questions leads us to the underlying feelings again. The feeling that influence our behavior. Because what kind of feeling do you need to be able to respond effectively in certain situations? It certainly is not insecure or scared or guilty or frustrated. It's the exact opposite. If we feel valued, self-confident, safe, worthy, we're much more likely to show effective behavior. And nobody has to teach us what that effective behavior is because we will find our own way to do it right if we feel good. That is why I, in general, do not believe in training people in effective communication skills. We all possess those skills. We just sometimes forget to use them. Now, again, a disclaimer. I say in general, because I need to exclude, of course, certain psychiatric or psychological problems that prohibit people from functioning as they would maybe like to. Okay, but putting that aside, I state that when we feel good about ourselves, chances are much greater that we show effective behavior. And that gets us to the challenge for leaders. Instead of challenging people on their behavior, leaders, in my opinion, should focus much more on how they make people feel. I mean, it's easy. Make people feel scared or insecure or unsafe or insufficient, and you get ineffective behavior from them more often than not. However, if you make people feel valued, self-confident, safe, worthy, then more often than not you will see effective behavior. Now let me close with one example on how I personally learned this the hard way, and someone else had to pay the price, unfortunately. It happened some 35 years ago, and it's still very fresh in my mind. I was starting out as a consultant, and this one day I had conversations with two different men in the same situation. Both had lost their jobs and needed to find a new one. One guy was in his 50s, no education to speak of, and burdened by a mortgage and children in college. He had worked for the same company for over 30 years in the warehouse. And now he was let go. The other guy was in his late 20s, had a law degree, and technically wasn't even fired. He was just at the end of his 2-year contract for an insurance company. Without obligation, the company had offered him some consultancy time with me to help him find a new job. How do you guess these guys reacted to their respective circumstances? Any idea? Well, it was probably the other way around, and that's why I remember them. The guy in his 50s said to me that he'd always suspected the grass to be greener at the other side of the road. Well, now it was time for him to find out if that was true. So what are we going to do? That's what he said, literally. What are we going to do? It took him 3 months to get 4 job offers to choose from. The guy in his 20s took a bit longer, and honestly, that was my mistake. It turned out that he was actually mad at his employer for not offering him a steady job. He had performed well and just couldn't stop being angry. In job interviews, this spilled over, and obviously that was not very helpful. His aggressive behavior was very ineffective. And now my mistake. I started telling him, trying to teach him, effective behavior. I put him in front of a video camera, rehearsed all possible situations with him, and tried to show him what worked and what didn't, as if he couldn't figure that out for himself. I'll never forget the call I had with him discussing yet another botched job interview, and I asked him, what happened exactly? He said, well, they asked me why I was job hunting, why I stopped working for the insurer. I said, okay, we rehearsed that. What did you say? It took him a minute, and then he said, well, I told them that I'd rather not speak about that period. Okay, that was clearly the passive approach. I'm not proud of the fact that I did not change my approach and kept on trying to teach him the right behavior. Again, with video camera and rehearsals all over. It took him eventually more than a year to land his next job, and I still feel it was my fault. Had I spent a couple of hours with him on how the whole situation made him feel, how realistic these feelings were, if he could also look at these circumstances from a different perspective, could he possibly feel different about the situation? Had I spent more time on helping him recover his self-confidence, his sense of value, his sense of safety, I'm convinced that he, in turn, would have found his own effective behavior. No need for me to teach him. Ever since, I've tried to convey this learning to leaders all over the world I work with. Assess what you do, what you say, how you say it, when you say it, and what the effect on others is. Make people feel valued, self-confident, safe, a worthy part of something, and more often than not, you will see effective behavior. So no, circumstances do not determine behavior. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it.